We have a tendency to avoid things that are unpleasant, things that make us feel uncomfortable. We avoid those things. We don't put our hand in the fire because we know that it'll not feel good. You don't go without eating because you know it doesn't feel good to be hungry. Things or experiences that we perceive to be uncomfortable, we stay far away from. Same thing with spiritual matters. We will not humble ourselves before the Lord. We will not change our laughter to mourning. We will not change our joy to gloom, because we don't like the way it feels. What has happened in the church, and it's happened in the culture a long time ago, is that feelings have become our authority. We base truthfulness or falsehoods upon whether we feel good about it or not. If it feels good, it must be good, right? If you are feeling good, you don't go to the physician. Only when you feel bad do you pay a visit to the doctor. Well, in the same way, if we are feeling good about who we are spiritually, we won't go to the great physician. We will not humble ourselves. We will not mourn for sin. As long as we are feeling self-confident in ourselves. Got football season going on. Of course, everybody, have you noticed that all the teams say, we're number one. Nobody says, hey, we're number 27. No, everybody wants to feel good about themselves. And we do that spiritually as well. We avoid anything spiritually that makes us feel uncomfortable. So we define God's blessings and curses according to how we feel, which is the wrong thing to do. What we do then is that we should move from God's revelation about Himself and God's revelation about us. We move from that knowledge out into the culture. Instead, what we do is we base our authority upon how we feel. How we feel about ourselves, how we feel about our present situation, and then we move out into the culture in our relationships with other people, depending upon how we feel. Which is not biblical at all. We are to base our self-image upon who Christ is. We do not base our self-image upon how we feel at a particular moment. So if we are just left to ourselves, we will make every choice based upon what feels good to us. Therefore, we will not grieve, we will not mourn, we will not wail over our sin, because it feels bad. And since you will not grieve, mourn, and wail over sin, since you hate to feel bad about yourself, then you will never experience the blessings of God. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, those who are not feeling good about who they are before God. Those are the people that will receive the blessings of God. It is true that mourning for sin feels bad, But not everything that feels bad is bad. You may be sick, but the doctor gives you some medicine. You ever had medicine that actually tasted good? Man, I remember when I was a kid, you know, having to taste that cough medicine. It's like, ooh, that was awful. But the reason that my parents gave me that medicine was they wanted to make things good for me. Medicine tastes bad, but it's good. And so what is happening in your life when the Holy Spirit descends upon you, when the Holy Spirit has brought you into union with Jesus Christ, the first experience you're going to have ain't going to feel good. It's not going to feel good because you're going to begin to mourn and grieve and wail because of your sin. You're going to begin to see yourself for what you really are. You're going to begin to see yourself as how God sees you. Those who are being brought into the kingdom of God, they are going to undergo an extreme and radical character revelation by the Scriptures, by the Holy Spirit using the Scriptures. You're going to find out for the very first time what you truly are. And my friend, it will not feel good because it will cause you to mourn and wail and grieve when you find out what you really are. You see, the Holy Spirit reveals to those entering into the kingdom of God, He reveals to them their true colors. Listen to what happened to Isaiah, the prophet, when he saw, even in the Old Testament, when he saw Jesus Christ sitting on a throne. He says, "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." When David was brought under conviction by the Holy Spirit, he says, "I have been a sinner even at my conception. Even in the womb, I am dead in sin. Even in the womb, I have rebelled against God. Even in the womb, I am a sinner." Prophet Zechariah says that God will pour out upon the house of David and in the inhabitants of Jerusalem the Spirit of grace. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? Spirit of grace is going to be poured out upon the church. But listen to what the prophet says will be the fruit of that. "I will pour out upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the Spirit of grace, and they shall mourn." Oh, wow. Grace flowing from the throne of heaven upon us initially causes us to mourn. You see, weeping for sin, that's a sign of the new birth. As soon as the child is born, he begins to cry. As soon as the child of God is spiritually reborn, he begins to cry, "Abba, Father. Have mercy upon me, for I am a sinful man." To hate sin. To grieve for sin. Oh, that is a sign of love to you from Christ. Listen to the prophet Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 36, the promise from God is that He will give His Spirit. And by giving the Spirit, He will take away the heart of stone. and he will cause them to weep. Now, stones, they don't naturally weep. But weeping for sin shows that the heart of stone has had something supernaturally happen to it. As the prophet Zechariah says, it is because grace has been poured out from heaven to you. Left to yourselves, you would never change your laughter to mourning. Left to yourselves, you would never grieve, mourn, or wail for sin in your life. Left to yourselves, you would never seek to turn from sin. But when the grace of God is poured out upon you, then you become like the prodigal son. You're blind, but now you see. You're dead, but you are alive again. So you see, mourning for sin, feeling bad about sin in your life. My friend, that's a good thing. Do not be led to reject feelings that make you feel bad, because that is a work of the Holy Spirit in your life. So why does the Holy Spirit make you feel bad about yourself? Why does the Holy Spirit bring you under conviction of sin? Well, it's because the Holy Spirit's got a plan. In bringing the soul to mourn for sin, the finished work of the Spirit is aiming to bring your soul to the joy of Christ. You see, the Spirit's goal is not to leave you in the valley, but it is to bring you to the mountaintop. The Spirit's goal is not to simply destroy your self-image, but to remake your self-image. The Spirit is not simply seeking to destroy your self-confidence, but He's going to destroy your self-confidence and build in you a confidence in Christ. As the Spirit is tearing down things in your life, He is building up the kingdom of God in your life. As John the Baptist said, I must decrease and Christ must increase. And that is the work of the Spirit in all of our lives. The Spirit is continually decreasing your estimation of who you are. And at the same time, the Spirit is always increasing your estimation of who Christ is. Listen to the prophet Isaiah. God says, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit. And I live with the contrite and lowly in spirit to revive the spirit of the lonely and to revive the heart of the contrite. I will heal the sinfulness and restore comfort to him, creating praise on the lips of those who mourn in Israel. You see, mourning for sin, that's a work of the Holy Spirit. That is a sign that you're loved by God. But the reason that the Holy Spirit is working in you and bringing conviction that you would mourn for your sin is to bring you to Christ, that you would look away from yourself, that you would find no hope in yourself, and you would look to the only one that you could put your hope in, Jesus Christ. Jesus, quoting from Isaiah 61, says, The Spirit of the Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me, listen, to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for all those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Holy Spirit brings you down. But He does so to make Christ more precious to you, in order that then you may be lifted up and receive the comfort of God. The reason for the appearing of the Son of God was not simply to convict you of sin, but to comfort you. The gospel is a declaration of peace and comfort to all sinners who repent of their sins and seek Jesus Christ. Those who mourn for their sins will be comforted. They will be comforted with the abundance of grace, with the length and the depth and the width of the love of God that He has for you. John Newton, he was the author of the hymn Amazing Grace. John Newton, in his life before he became a Christian, was a slave trader. But then the Holy Spirit came upon him. He mourned for his sins. The Holy Spirit led him to comfort in Christ. And he wrote the hymn that we all know, Amazing Grace. Listen, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Now listen, this is one of my favorite parts. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. You see, the grace of God, the love of God, brought him to mourn and grieve and wail for his sin. But the Holy Spirit did so in order to point him to Christ and to comfort him in Christ. Yes, the grace of God teaches our hearts to fear the wrath of God. But it's also the grace of God that relieves our fears from the wrath of God. Job says, the Lord wounds, but He also binds up. He injures, but His hands also heal. The Spirit presents to our minds the holiness and the righteousness of God, and we tremble and quake. But then the Spirit also presents to our hearts and minds Jesus Christ, the grace of God, God's willingness to forgive us. The Spirit begins as the convictor. The Spirit progresses to be the counselor, the comforter. Yet we are apt to measure everything in our life by how it makes us feel. Sometimes providence is difficult, and we feel bad about God's providence. But then we wrongly move towards thinking that God has abandoned us. No. When a providence is difficult, what is the Holy Spirit doing? He's doing the same thing that He did when you first became a Christian. He is stripping away any confidence that you have in yourself. He has taken away any hope that you would have in human intervention, in human resources. And He is showing you and placing before you the all-sufficiency of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the great I Am. He can provide for all we need, and He is all we need. He is our righteousness. The disciple Thomas said he would not believe that Christ had arisen unless he could feel the nail prints in His hands and feet. Well, we are apt to be like Thomas. We are apt to believe that Christ has not risen in our hearts until we can feel the comfort and the presence of His Spirit. But my friend, the Holy Spirit uses the good and the bad. He uses discomfort to bring us to the comfort of Christ. We are prone to want to be confident. We are prone to want to be God, to be self-sufficient. You follow the stories through the Old Testament. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, the prophets. Every one of them, they're just like us. They wanted to be independent. Their sin leads them to want to be independent. And in every one of those lives, God crushed them. Why? Because His love was upon them. God wanted them to look to Him. Not to have hope in themselves. Not to have hope in their self-righteousness. But to have hope in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus told the disciples, "Your sorrow will turn to joy, as the gloom of winter is always followed by the bloom of spring. The conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit in your life is going to be followed by the comfort of the Holy Spirit in your life." Oh, my friend, do not despise conviction of sin. Do not let the conviction of sin lead you away from Christ. Instead, embrace it as the gift of God and flee to Christ. Because blessed are those who mourn, for Christ will comfort them. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, so many times we put our authority in our feelings and anything that brings us discomfort, we tend to avoid. Oh, heavenly Father, never let it be that we would seek to avoid the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. Instead, heavenly Father, help us to recognize it as fruit of the Holy Spirit. And help us to understand that the Holy Spirit is leading us to embrace Jesus Christ. Comfort us, Heavenly Father, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's close our worship as we stand together and sing, of course, "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound," hymn 460. We sang it last week. It's good enough to sing again.